Well, the text that uses this trouble is before you here, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. And we're glad to note together that it says that he will be delivered out of it. And that deliverance will also herald an opportunity for all mankind. For this we're very thankful. We'll begin reading the fifth verse of Jeremiah 7:30. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. In Luke, the 21st chapter, as the brethren have mentioned, our Lord explained that Jerusalem would be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. And as has been brought out, gradually and even beginning before that, there was a gradual regathering to the land. In harmony with other scriptures, as we'll note, they were brought back into the land in unbelief as regarding the recognition of their Messiah or Christ. Now, it's helpful to realize that Messiah is a Hebrew word meaning anointed. Christ is the Greek word meaning anointed. And, of course, anointed is our English word meaning anointed. So when sometimes I hear commentators say, well, those in rather ridiculing the fact that some might believe in a messianic idea, he probably doesn't realize that he's disagreeing with the Christian idea. And it's helpful to us to gather the great theme of the Bible if we recognize that the Messiah and Christ and the Anointed, for Christ Jesus our Lord, the Anointed, as we have it in the Greek and rendered in the English, are all the same. The only thing that we do rejoice in a special way, is that the Messiah has body members and will eventually be the Christ, head and body. But let's turn now for a moment as we consider our day to the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. They are brought back into the land, but still in blindness. There's much to be done with them, and yet, what do we find in the 11th chapter of Romans, New Testament corroboration of this? The Apostle Paul tells us that they are still beloved for the Father's sake. We're also going to note some scriptures that indicate, as we endeavored to set forth yesterday, that these things are being done to glorify God's name. Let us also remember that Israel, regardless of the glorious promises that are made concerning them, are still children of Adam, all needing a Redeemer, all needing deliverance, all needing the same help that all the rest of us need. In the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with the 33rd verse, notice, in harmony with Brother David's words, the conditions under which they would be brought back into the land. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, when they were in bondage in Egypt, to bring them out. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod of what? Under the rod of chastisement. And I will bring you into the bond, or the margin says, the delivering of the covenant. Not that old law covenant. Let's turn for a moment to the 16th chapter of Ezekiel now. In the 16th chapter, the Lord reproves Israel because they had become worse than her sisters, Samaria and Sodom. No wonder Jesus said that it would be more tolerable for them, for Sodom and for Samaria in the day of judgment, than it would be for Israel. Why? Because Israel had much greater light and knowledge and a glorious law given to them and dealings with the Heavenly Father. But nevertheless, in the 60th verse of Ezekiel 16, we read, "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant," as Brother Roskowitz mentioned. "Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger." And that's Samaria, and in the 46th verse tells you Samaria and Sodom. "And thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant." How plain the Lord is. "And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." That's the reason he's doing it. That's the reason he's carrying everything out according to his word, to glorify his name. And of course, work out a blessing for Israel and for all the world of mankind. "That thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God." It's a benefit to see and understand God's viewpoint of some of these things. Now we'd like to turn for a moment to Zechariah, the first chapter. I better take my watch off here, and Brother Ron, you'll be coming up here all too soon anyway. But maybe we may have to speak to you some of these things later. In Zechariah, the first chapter, we find these words. And why the Lord takes the attitude he does toward those that would oppose Israel and his regathering of them. Zechariah 1:15. "And I am very sore displeased with the heathen or the nations or the Gentiles that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased," that is with Israel, "and they helped forward the affliction." Yes, the Lord is a God of justice and of righteousness. He balances out the scales. Ezekiel 35, going back to Ezekiel for a moment. Ezekiel 35, verses 3 to 5, read, "Speaking of Seir, the Edomites, children of Ishmael and of Esau, turn thy face, set thy face against Mount Seir, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end." What's he talking about? The 40th chapter of Isaiah, what does it say to us? The double. Israel's double had been fulfilled. Isaiah 40 and verses 1 and 2 read, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Yes, 1845 years of favor under the Jewish law arrangement, and 1845 years of being cast off, and the opportunity in the door to the Gentiles, and the gospel age opening. In the meantime, the land went back to desolations. Now it's back, Brother Bruce says, to the same number of population it had. Had gone back to waste, only inhabited by Bedouin tribes and wandering Arabs primarily, with a few there, as Brother David mentioned. There. All in fulfillment of the Lord's word. And on time. Verse 14, then tells us in Ezekiel 35. We'd like to have this from the Lord's Word. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoices, I will make thee desolate. Those that have opposed. Now, we want to turn for just a moment to the 83rd Psalm. And you'll say, well, this is just about like picking up the newspaper and reading it in our day. Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Why does it say that? Because it's time for their return. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles was fulfilled. They are being brought back there. And then let's see what the Lord says he's going to do for them. We won't have time to go into Zechariah, the 12th chapter. That's the one that says, you know, in the third verse, he'll make Israel a burdensome stone for all people. Although all nations are gathered together against it, that he would cut them off and he wouldn't make a full end of Israel, and so forth. Well, they're a burdensome stone. They're in the news all the time, aren't they? They're a problem. But Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, what does it say? Well, they're enemies for the present time until the full number of the Gentiles be gathered into the Christian church. Gathered into the church, into Christ. The bride of Christ being prepared. And then what does it say? Well, out of that glorified Christ, head and body, out of Zion shall come the deliverer and turn ungodliness away from Jacob. Yes, the church will be beyond the veil when some of Jacob's trouble takes place. In fact, when it will, we believe, the scriptures point out. And that blindness will be taken away. But in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, then, we read, beginning with the 24th verse, for I will take you from among the heathen, or the nations, and gather you again out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this to hustle along. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Take away the stony heart, and put in a heart of flesh. Put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I have given unto your fathers. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And you say, well, that sounds like Revelation 21, doesn't it? The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will be their God, and they shall be his people. And he speaks of the blessings and so forth. In the 31st verse, he says, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. The 21st verse of that same chapter says, but I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen or the nations or the Gentiles whither ye went. God says, I'm doing it to keep my promises, to show that I am a faithful covenant-keeping God. But he's going to require something of them, too, as we'll see. So as we come on through the end of that 36th chapter, notice this. Later, when he begins to bless them and they build the cities as we see them and taking place in our day, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited, then the heathen or the people that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Putting that in our everyday language, he says, you're going to ask me. And what did Jesus say? He says, you'll see me no more until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You're going to ask me. You're going to find out that you can't do this for yourself, no matter how many billions and billions are sent in from other places around the world. These are very wonderful things. So then, in order that we might press along, there's so many wonderful things. We'll turn to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel and a direct condition of Jacob's trouble that we believe so from the scriptures. You remember in the 15th verse it says that the hordes would come down from the north. You know who they're having trouble with. You know who's interested in coming down there. You know who made a great attack against Afghanistan. You know who'd like to encircle that. You know who'd like to have open ice-free port on the Mediterranean. You know who'd like to have control of the petroleum. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the nations, the heathen, it says here, but that means all the nations and peoples, may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Gog and Magog, Gog from the land of Gog, is always typical of the forces of evil or those opposing God. Then he tells in the 17th verse that these things have been prophesied for many days and years by the prophets. The 18th verse, though, I think is significant. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Now, there's a text in the 10th chapter of Revelation where, speaking of after the third woe, and it says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and so forth. And then it says, and the nations were angry, and our Common Version Bible says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. But practically every other translation, including the Greek of the Diaglot and Rotherham and others, says, makes a separate step out of that. The nations were angry, yes, it's a time of trouble. We've been talking about that. The nations were angry, and thy wrath came. Here was a particular, God was taking action now. At that time when they come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. What did the psalm say? They are confederate together against thee, against the accomplishment of his promised purposes that he's going to carry out. For in my jealousy, or in my zeal, that is, and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. The Apostle Paul tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews what this shaking is all about. That those things that can be shaken may be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. So it is that we appreciate that there will be a shaking in the land of Israel. That helps us, I think, to understand something in the book of Zechariah, the last chapter, the beginning of the last chapter. Because there it tells us, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city, the city represents a government or a society, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Shaking of those things that can be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. Those whose hearts and minds would by that time have been enlightened to be willing to receive their Messiah, the Christ, who will have then come to appreciate their need of God and will be turning to Him and not to their own prowess, great as their prowess is. We know there are remarkable people. The Scriptures tell us that even the power to get wealth is from God, from Him. Yes, the Lord says, the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. You say, well, that reminds me of the last verse in Amos. I'll plant them again in the land, and they shall not be plucked up again. They'll be there forever. He gave it to Abraham, gave it to the children, thy seed for an everlasting possession, didn't he? He's going to fulfill it. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. I'm going to stop there. Maybe we'll have some more to say about that later. But he shall be delivered out of it, because God is glorifying his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.